Yes, Maharaj, I started recording, Maharaj, if it's working or not. Yes. Maharaj, actually, this, like our Kharagpur, there are so many devotees. Like in my department, one Rajesh is there. So he also came to our, you know, BI Kolkata, and he also wants to join sometime. But actually, Maharaj, this sometime what happens, the times are not matching. So, sometimes they will be busy with guides and you know like that, Maharaj. So, I think Maharaj.
No, actually, our Gaurchandra has some people, yes. Some you know young boys like
Sunday,
yoga persons.
Yes, Sunday everybody can join, I think.
Yes, we can. Yes. It's always possible.
Yes. Or Maharaj, actually, we can also record the Sunday class and we can play it in some time, like this week's class, like this. If somebody misses. If somebody missing,
yes.
We can play the classes. Yes.
Or if someone has a question, we can, and they yes. can't make it, they can ask. You can, they can
yes.
ask you or Purushottam.
Yes. And we can forward,
Mar. Now we can try to
yes.
reply to their question.
Yes, Mar.
Oh, I don't know. I have to do this preaching from a distance.
Yes, Mar.
Very difficult, Mar. Actually, but.
Distance preaching. Distance preaching. You know, they have distance teaching. Now we have distance preaching.
Yes, Maharaj.
Yes, yes.
Maharaj, from IIT Mumbai, one student wrote me a mail.
Yes.
He actually read our, you know, Forum for Vedanta Science message.
Yes.
Then he wants actually some, you know, like know about more, you know, this Krishna. Like that.
Yes. Story.
So, I...
yes. Everybody wants to know more about Krishna.
Yes, and Bhaktivedanta community.
Yes, yes, very good.
Yes.
So we try to you know, involve him in some of these activities. I think if we start a newsletter.
Yes, Maharaj, I think CJ Mataji, Tonu Sri Bhattacharya. I just pasted the message in the Skype, Maharaj. RA project in chemistry department in IIT Mumbai. I strongly believe in Lord Krishna. I am also
yes.
recently joined in your Bhaktivedanta community. Please give me details about this institute. Thanks. So what I should write, Maharaj?
Bhaktivedanta community means what?
Is
where
it,
did he join?
Forum for Vedanta and Science, Maharaj. Basically.
Oh, I see.
Yes. Yes.
Of the institute. Well, I think you should send him the website, the address of the website.
Yes.
And explain, you know, what are our programs that we have?
Yes.
Our conference, and we have our annual conference.
Yes.
And that we want to start with newsletter.
Yes.
That we have our online discussions.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Like that.
Okay, Maharaj.
That there are some devotees there in. In Bombay also, Mukunda Madhava, Jagan
yes.
Mohini.
Yes, yes.
They can contact them.
Yes, Maharaj. Also, recently our Tripath Prabhu also moved to Mumbai.
Who's that?
Tripath Prabhu Maharaj. He is actually a software engineer. And Tata Technology, actually he was there with Guru Maharaj on the day of disappearance also. So Guru Maharaj was speaking with him regarding... He is also marriage and also regarding these problems in GVC and all like that. So
I don't know heard of him. What's his name again?
Tripath Prabhu.
Tripath?
Tripath Prabhu. His name is Tirupati Rao. Oh,
I see.
So. You may not know him. He's about 37 years. He's about 37 years old.
Yes.
He is married.
Yes.
His wife is disciple of Tripath Jayapataka Maharaj.
Yes.
And he is a disciple of our Gurudev.
Yes. He got initiation in this Janmashtami time in Manipur. He went to Manipur.
Acha. Oh,
so,
I see.
And he has good relations with us. I mean, both of us.
Yes. Yes.
I mean,
He was a student at IIT or professor there?
No, Maharaj. He met me in this Jagannath Puri Rath Yatra in 2004, Maharaj.
Oh, I see.
So from then, actually, he made contacts and from Mumbai, he came to Jamshedpur. Then he came to Guru Maharaj regularly, Maharaj, like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a mechanical engineer by background.
Chemistry, he says.
Mechanical.
No, he says chemistry department?
No, no, Maharaj. This is another student contacted me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
That is Tripad.
This is Tanushree, yes. This is Tripad.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, Maharaj. So he is in Mumbai, Tripad Prabhu. So he recently moved from Jamshedpur to Mumbai, Maharaj.
I see.
So he is searching a permanent house there. Once he gets, he can be in touch.
All right. Very nice. You're doing preaching even from Seoul now, see?
No.
This is long distance preaching, like I said. You know? Distance preaching.
But our Sushen Prabhu Maharaj is busy. See, Maharaj, I will tell you the difference between me and Sushen Prabhu. See, Maharaj?
Yes.
When I will speak, when I used to do preaching, then I was, people were, you know, a little bit, like I would speak something very, you know, general. And people will say, the Purushottam is very, you know, thoughtful.
Aggressive.
Not aggressive, thoughtful.
Thoughtful, okay. I see.
But nobody will, you know, but nobody becomes 16 round chanting or, you know, that doesn't happen through me, Maharaj. Even nobody takes Diksha also. But with Sushen Prabhu Maharaj, those who come to him, they get to Diksha also.
They so take everything. He's
everything, Maharaj, yes.
Maharaj, actually, our Dhamraj and Rangeshwar and our this Gorchandra, and they come by all our team in IIT Kharagpur. But Lord Jagannath somehow made me meet first to them. But thereon, this is like Sankirtan Maharaj.
Mm-hmm.
In the Sankirtan preaching, it is effective. So our Purushottam Prabhu will take Bhagavatam class, then I will discuss something, whatever I know, little thing, and then little prasadam in my room. So in that way, preaching used to happen.
That's a good combination. No?
Yeah.
That's a good combination. Purushottam. Very nice.
Mm.
Yeah, that's how we have to go on. You know, you try to find who is strong in each department.
Yes.
And you combine your strength, that's how this Sankirtan movement goes on.
Yes, Maharaj.
Yes, Maharaj.
Here in Seoul also, Maharaj, actually, if something we can do of Bhaktivedanta Institute's things, we can bring up, that would be nice, Maharaj.
Yes, you try to establish the Bhaktivedanta Institute club there at the university. That will be very good. Try to find some interested students, you know.
Yes, Maharaj.
And then you can... you know, if we can develop a nice program, a college program, where we have a basic outline of what each, what the club will consist of, how it will be organized, what their programs will be that they can carry out.
Yes.
Like we were talking before about having having discussions, inviting speakers, having movies, you know.
Yes.
Distributing prasad.
I think Maharaj, this curriculum, this, you know, what should we present to the public? I think this needs to be properly discussed.
Yes.
I think this is very important aspect.
Yes, I agree. And I told that we can put up a poster, right?
Mm. Yes.
Nice poster.
Yes.
And on that poster, we should say, Janmadasyata.
Janmadasyata.
Yes. Where does it all come from?
Yes.
From where does it all come? From where does it all come?
Yes.
Actually, people say, where does it all come from?
Yes.
But that's, you know, that's bad English. To put the preposition at the end of the sentence is bad English. It's called something, I don't know. There's an English term for that. So really the proper way to say it is, from where does it all come?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Where does it all come? So now that's Janmadasyata. Meaning of that is from where does it all come? I've written one article for the next newsletter, Denver newsletter.
Oh,
I've
written
one article. It's called Janmadasyata.
Mm-hmm. So Maharaj, I think we can prepare one this small this poster for this. Here there is an Indian community, Maharaj, in Seoul. So.
Yes.
they regularly organize some little, you know, like cultural programs. They are organizing Ganesh Puja. So, so I think if we can prepare and we can, I can contact some of the students and ask if we can form one, you know, small club. So that way we can start something in Seoul, Maharaj.
Oh, and yeah, that's yes, I'd like to see that. And then, but we were discussing what we should discuss. What's the what
should be the content
approach? What approach should we take?
Yes,
yes.
And
exactly,
I'm saying that we should present this question to the students. Yes. From where does it all come? Where does everything come from?
Yes, Maharaj.
Because, you know, the thing that is making science go sour is that they're trying to extend their scope to talking about the origin of the universe and the origin of life.
Yes.
This is where science is going sour.
Yes.
And going off the track.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Science
yes.
should be concerned more with what it can observe and making conclusions on that basis, and it has a limited scope.
Yes.
But when it tries to come into this idea of from where it all comes from, from where does it all come, then it goes into some you know, ontological, theological ground, the area, that it doesn't belong.
Yes.
That it can't, they can't use the empirical method to answer those questions.
Yes.
But they have somehow or other, they have taken that, that realm, which belongs to Vedanta.
Yes.
Which is the conclusion of knowledge, the truth, the ultimate truth, and they have tried to bring that into the empirical domain.
Yes.
So Vedanta says, Atato Brahma Jigyasa.
Yes.
And that we have to inquire about the nature of the absolute
reality. Yes.
Well, we are should inquire. That is what we are created for as human beings. Now that we are human beings.
Yes.
And we have a proper. We have come in touch with a proper instructor, the proper teacher. That's also there's two principles. Not only that we are a human being, but the second principle is that we have come in touch with a proper person, proper teacher to learn.
Yes.
About that, that by which our inquiry can be guided.
Yes.
If those two things are met, then what is the next step? Then the next step is to try to understand where does everything come from?
Yes.
From where does it all come? Now, we want to set ourselves apart from the scientific, the empirical scientific approach.
Yes.
And say that there is another science that's needed to answer that question. It's not can't be done by this empirical approach, and we can give all the reasons for that.
Yes.
We have to come up with what are the reasons why that is now why that is not appropriate, and also in Vedanta Sutra it will tell us.
Yes.
Now, what is the proper approach for answering that question? Right. By Shabda.
Right.
Shabda.
Yes.
Next verse will tell us that we have to approach that, answering that question through Shabda. We can't we can't approach that by the ascending process.
Yes.
Yes.
We have to approach that from the descending process. So these things are all can all come in, you see, very nicely when we center around that question.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Right.
What do you think?
Right.
Yes, Maharaj.
Yes. Guruji used to say about a synthesis between the two.
Synthesis of science and spirituality. Yes, but we are teaching. We are teaching a scientific process. It's not that we are just saying you have to believe.
Yes.
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 We're giving arguments and reasons.
Yes.
And telling that, you know, you have to take this process up and you'll definitely get some, you know, you'll definitely experience some result.
Yes.
Why not?
Yes.
In fact, Guruji used to say the science means to take from the scriptures, then apply it in our day-to-day life, and then we get results.
Yes.
When we get results, it is scientific.
Yeah, put yourself in the test tube. We're telling that.
Yes.
Put yourself in the test tube and try and see if you don't get any result on yourself. You have to make yourself the experiment.
Yes.
The self is the experiment in our case.
Guru Maharaj also gave one definition. When the subject becomes the object of its own study, then it is spirituality.
Yes. Yes, 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 that's right.
Yes.
That's the idea. Self-determination.
Yes.
Yes.
Self can determine itself, then That is called self-determination, and other people call it self-realization.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, yes.
So now Bhagavad Gita is also a perfect science book.
Yes, Maharaj.
There are so many instructions given in that book.
Yes.
And very scientifically it has explained everything. Very scientifically. But because they have they don't have the proper teachers for explaining it, they think, oh, this is for some kind of crazy talk. Whatever, I don't know what they think when they read that. It's some kind of...
First of all, they think that it's very difficult. They think that most of the people, they think that it's difficult. And sometimes they think
that...
One thing is that in the Paramatma Tattva by Srila Jiva Goswami, this has been very nicely analyzed. This, but the analytical way of approaching. So actually, in this Maharaj, also this Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 15, this the yoga of the Supreme Person, Purushottam Yoga. That also, that 20 slokas are there, Maharaj. So when we read this, Jiva Goswami's work, so here he has analyzed. For example, and we can find many parallels with modern scientific approach. Like in modern science, we say, first of all, we define a field. We say a magnetic field. And then we define what are the elements of that field. We say this is how South Pole, North Pole, and then there are the lines of forces. We draw them. There are different. Also, there are fields of electrical fields, and there are various things like that. So this field or this of consciousness, this is also very logically well defined in our script. So I think we need to little bit approach that thing, Maharaj. So then we can compare and present it.
All right. Because people who are not familiar with that, people who are not familiar with the language of the Gita, the gunas and things like that, they think it's something unscientific.
Yes.
That these are just some superstition or some words, because they can't understand. You tell them about passion, ignorance, and goodness, and they'll think, what kind of science is that? We're used to hydrogen, carbon, nitrogen, phosphorus, those things. Right, so they can't see how that's giving any kind of scientific explanation. So we have to introduce them to that language and to that the logic of the gunas. And of consciousness. Consciousness is a subject of scientific inquiry. Spirit as a subject of scientific inquiry, but not analytical. We can't do that analytically. We have to approach that from a different perspective. And why we have to approach that from a different way? Why that's not analytical? Just like when you deal with the finite, what is finite? Actually, nothing is finite. But when we deal with reality as finite, then they call that analytical approach. It's like when you take a plant, a rose, and you analyze it. You analyze it into its ethers and its oils and its compounds and all these things. That analysis, all those particular aspects of the rose that we may analyze it into, it's not that we can take all those parts, put them together, and make a rose out of it.
No.
See, the rose is already a whole entity.
Yes.
It has its own wholeness that makes it a rose. Yes. But we are taking that wholeness, and through our brains, through our minds, we are making abstract, we are abstracting different essences from it.
Yes.
And then we think that from those essences we have abstracted from that whole, those fractional essences, we think we can put that together and that makes up the whole.
Yes.
That's the analytic process. Yes. But that's not valid.
Yes.
The whole is not... First of all, we can't analyze the whole properly by that method.
Yes.
Just like we said, Om Purnam Ada Purnam Idam, things have to be understood from their wholeness, that they're coming as wholes into this world and they come from a whole.
Yes.
Yes.
So we need a science to understand how that works. how this science of holes is working, how a hole can produce a hole, and that it can't be broken down in parts like that and understood properly. That's only the effect, that is only the result, this analytical process is only the result of the finite mind.
It's a result of the
human, the human being is a finite being, and when he applies his finite subjectivity to things, he must get a finite, he looks in terms of finite results, getting finite, you know, knowledge out of that. That's all he can do. So that whole process has to be questioned as far as understanding. And Hegel gives a very nice, you know, description of this whole process, actually. How that can be understood. What he calls subjective mind, objective mind, and absolute knowledge.
How we can
combine these three. We find that in any object, any entity, any event, there are always three aspects. The universal. The particular. And the individual or singular.
Supreme Lord also like Bhagavan, Paramatma, and...
That's right. That's right. It's exactly the same thing. Everything, every entity, from the Supreme Lord down to the ant, has to be understood in terms of these three aspects. Everything is a universal, particular, and individual. But
Maharaj,
the scientists
don't
understand it. Scientists don't understand that. Let's explain what that means. That scientists can understand that because for one thing, they neglect the universal. The universal we can say is the whole. The whole we can call the universal. In an abstract sense, you can say that. Just like there's more than just the the individual rose, the plant is an individual, right? It's a singular thing, a singular entity. And when we analyze it into its various essential parts, its chemical constituents, its esters that give the fragrance to the rose, all those different components of it, it's the various essential oils that are within the plant. Those things we might call the particulars, particularity of the rose. The rose itself is the singular, is the individual entity. Then the aspects that we analyze it into, those are the particulars. Then what is the universal? The rose itself is a universal because how do we refer to it? That's the name of the thing. The name of the thing is also important. That we define it as a rose is also part of the rose. That has no significance. See, for the scientist, that universal has no significance, has no reality. The only thing that has reality for them is the individual and the particular.
Maharaj, what is individual in rose?
Individual, that's the look, there are three things. Let's talk like this. There's species. There's genus. There's species. And there's specimen. Specimen is the individual. Genus is the universal. And species is the particular. We're going to look at it like that. So the specimen is the individual, is the thing that you observe. That's the singular thing that you observe, that you deal with. That's the specimen that you've collected from the nature. Now that individual has to be broken down into its particularities. It's specific parts. Species means specific. Specific and species come from the same word. So when you break it down into its specific parts, that is the particularity of the specimen. But that particular individual also belongs to a genus. Or general. You can call it we can say species, genus, depends on what level we're at. We can call it species, we can call it genus. But the plant belongs to the species of rose. And that's an important, that's an essential ingredient of the rose. Otherwise, we can't say what it is. We can never name it rose. By giving it that name, it defines that individual in a very particular way, in a very specific way. And without that specific determination. We can't say what that is. Just like another example, we can say, let's say you have some cherries and some grapes.
Yes.
And some peaches. Huh? What yes. are they called?
They're fruits.
What are we? Fruit. Okay.
Yes.
So now that fruit is part of that. Is part of those things. Each one of those things has to is a fruit. Otherwise, that we take and we say no, fruit is not an important part of it. Then what are they?
Yes.
See? We can't say what they are if we take away the fruit.
Yes.
Although we can't find, if we look, if we go to the market, if you tell someone, go to the market and buy me some fruit.
Yes.
And he goes to the market and he says, I want to buy fruit. And he says, well, what kind of fruit do you want? What do you mean fruit? What kind of fruit? What do you have? And he says, I have cherries, I have apples, I have this. And he says, oh, no, no, I want fruit. I don't want cherries, grapes, all this. And you can't buy fruit.
Yes.
You can only buy cherries, apples, peaches, like that.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Oh, no, no. I was told I have to buy fruit. I can't buy cherries, this, that, the other.
Yes. Yes.
So fruit is a very is the essential essence of each of those things, and yet it doesn't exist anywhere in there. That's called the universal.
Yes, ma'am.
It's there, but it's not there.
Yes.
And without that universal, it can't be.
Yes.
And yet it's not there. It doesn't exist there empirically. Yet it's essential. And this is a scientist. This is a scientist don't understand. Those persons who believe in that kind of have that kind of philosophy, who don't believe in the universal, they're called nominalists. Nominalist means person who thinks that the name, the rose, is just the name.
Mm-hmm.
Fruit is just a name. It has no otherwise. It has no other significance. It's just a name. It's something arbitrary that we give a name to, but it has no other significance.
Yes.
But we say, if you take away the universal, then you can't tell what that thing is.
Yes.
Just like Prabhupada gave the example.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The essence, the Dharma means essence. So the Dharma of water is. It's liquidity. It's liquid.
Yes.
Liquidness. Liquidity. If we take away the liquidity from the water, it's no longer water.
Yes, Maharaj.
Yes.
You can't get that as water.
Yes.
It becomes a solid or something like that. So, in the same way, Prabhupada told us that the Dharma, the dhri, Dharma comes from this root dhri, Sanskrit root. Dhri means essence, huh?
Yes, Maharaj.
That if we take away the Dharma of the living entity, which is his serving capacity, his service, he has a serving, his constitutional position is to be servant, is to serve.
Yes.
He said, if you look in this world, everyone is serving. Everyone is serving. A is serving B, B is serving C, like that. Everyone is, somehow or other, they're engaged in serving.
Yes, ma'am.
Because that is the essential nature of the living entity.
Yes, ma'am.
Without that, he can't be a living entity. And not only human beings, all kinds of living entities.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Even we can say the light, sunlight is serving us. Or we are serving, not that we are being served, but we are also serving. We are, by breathing, we are also serving the plants, you know?
Yes.
Because we are producing carbon dioxide.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Even Maharaj, Guru Maharaj says, we are taking prasadam, so many living entities are getting, blessed in the stomach.
If we are engaged in service, then we are engaged in those living entities in Krishna's realm.
Yes.
We're taking those living entities up to the realm of Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
Oh. And then you are getting your electricity. Somebody has to serve in order to get for you to get your electricity.
Yes.
Okay. You live in a city. Somebody has to serve in order to collect the garbage.
Yes.
Somebody is doing some service. So everything, somehow or other, everyone is serving everyone else.
Yes.
We may recognize it or not recognize it, but that is going on. So that is the Dharma. That is the dhri, the essence of the living entity. Nothing like that.
Yes.
The essence of the grape and the cherry and the peach, that is fruit.
Yes.
That is its essence. The lion, the tiger, the elephant, the monkey, that is what?
Yes.
Animal.
Yes. The animal.
You go to the forest and you look for animal, you won't find it.
Yes.
But you'll find tiger. Yes. Like that? But if you take that animality away from the dog, away from the elephant, then what is it? We can't define it. We can't say what it is.
Exactly.
Yes.
So that's an important element. No, an essential element, yet that's neglected by scientists, generally.
Yes.
So these three things have to be always considered, universal, particular, individual.
Yes.
They have to be considered together.
Yes.
And generally they are considered only from one side or another. So just like the scientists, they're interested in the analysis of the chemical nature.
Yes.
So the phosphorus, the nitrogen, the oxygen, like that. These are all particulars, aren't they?
Yes.
What are they neglecting?
They're neglecting the personality, the individuality.
Yes. They eliminate the individuality, and they eliminate what else?
The universal aspect.
Universal aspect. So they're only studying one third.
Particular.
One third. They're only studying the particulars. They're only studying one third of the totality.
Yes.
You're only studying one third of totality. How limited their conception is, you see?
Yes, ma'am.
How limited. How can they expect to give us proper knowledge when they have such limited perspective?
Yes. Also limited approach.
That's a very brilliant thought. Brilliantly, you know, you have Maharaj placed it. Very nice, actually.
Right.
Actually, Maharaj, that is a limited approach.
It's very limited, isn't it?
Yes. And they are very much rigidly fixed to that.
And what is the problem? What is the problem that we are... Why is that like that? You see, people are not thinking. We don't hear these things. It's not... You say it's very brilliant.
Yes.
But it's a common sense. It's only common sense.
Yes, Maharaj.
It's real. Yes. What I'm saying is the reality. And everyone knows it.
Yes,
them, they will know it. Oh, yes, of course. Why didn't I think of that? It's going on. It's in front of our nose.
Yes.
Yes.
Right?
So because actually we have been, you know, asked not to think like that in our schools.
No, not only have you not been asked, but nobody's thinking like that.
Yes.
People have become alpamedasha.
Yes.
What's that verse?
Yes, sir.
Antavattu phalam tesham.
Antavattu
phalam tesham.
Tadbhavati alpamedasham.
Yes.
Tadbhavati alpamedasham.
Actually, there
Antavat means that you're only studying the limited thing. Antavat. Antavat means the limited. Anta.
Yes.
You say Vedanta. Vedanta means the end of Veda. The result, the conclusion. So they're only studying the antavat, the ended thing.
Yes.
Things that have an end, a limit. What has an end is a limited thing.
Yes.
Antavattu phalam shesham. This is limited phalam, means limited fruit. They're looking for limited fruit. Limited, limited result. They're looking for that.
Devan devo yajayanti.
They're only looking Devan Deva Yanti Madbhakta
Yanti
Mamapi. Those who worship the demigod means worship means that they are looking for some immediate result. Now, you only worship the demigods if you want some money, you want some child, you want some this, you want something that, right? For your own selfish purpose.
Yes.
They're worshiping the demigods.
Yes, Mother.
So they are the antavattu phalam desham.
Yes, Maharaj.
They're looking for limited result.
Yes, Maharaj.
So people are studying science for what? So they can go out and make money.
Yes.
Go out and become a rich.
Yes.
Huh? Somehow they will have a good job.
Yes.
And they will be able to make some money, and they will be able to get nice food, have a house, and have children, and finished. They don't think that I am going to die. Why are you? If you know you're going to die, would you? The first thing you do think, oh, I got to go make a lot of money. Is that the first thing we should think about?
No.
If you're going to die, you should think, oh, how can I help myself not to die? How can I avoid this dying?
Actually, Maharaj, Actually, Maharaj, in my life, that was the only question in my life from my childhood. I used to ask everyone, and nobody was able to give me answer.
Oh.
Came to, you know, Guru Maharaj.
Yes.
That was the only question in my life, Maharaj.
People don't realize that their primary enemy is death.
Yes.
Of everyone.
Yes.
There's the universal enemy of everyone.
Yes.
And they don't realize. And foolishly,
yes,
they are telling, this person is my enemy, that one is my enemy, I have to fight with him, I have to kill him before he kills me. Like this. They're thinking like that.
Yes,
and they are not realizing that we all have the same common enemy.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And even that, you know, we want to kill others, even though they already they are being killed, we still want to make an end to them. We think that they are my enemy, and we don't realize that we are facing our enemy, right? All are facing the same enemy.
Yes. Enemy of like bad quality.
And instead of worrying about that problem, how to solve that problem, they are thinking, oh, I want to get PhD, I want to get this, I want to get that.
Yes.
If you were in a gas chamber,
yes,
if everyone were standing in a gas chamber, right?
Yes.
And we were thinking, and each person was thinking, oh, I need to get a nice house, I'm going to get a good job, I'm going to get a big car, I'm going to have a family.
Yes.
And you're all sitting in the gas chamber, and you know
that
100% of the people, you're all going to die.
Yes.
100% certain, you will all die.
Yes.
And still they were thinking like that. What would the conclusion be?
Alpamedasha.
Yes.
They have limited intelligence.
Yes, Maharaj.
It's limited intelligence, and they're all looking for limited result.
Yes, Maharaj.
Because that
temporary.
Because they have alpamedasha, they are all looking for limited result, and because they are looking for limited result, they all have alpamedasha.
Yes, Maharaj.
So all this fighting that people are doing with one another, who wants to be powerful, who wants to have the position of strength and. Control and all these things. It's all foolishness because they're thinking in terms of the limited result instead of the long range, the real problem of life.
Yes.
How to become sat. How to become sat. Brahman means sat, chidananda.
Yes.
We are giving the solution. Shastra is giving the solution that how to become immortal, how to become sat, chidananda, how to become immortal. Sat means eternal existence.
Yes.
But we tell that, but this is not enough. Eternal existence will not be enough. You won't be satisfied. Well, if you have eternal existence, then what?
Excellent.
Excellent.
Is that going to be satisfying?
No, Maharaj.
Eternal existence won't be satisfying.
Services are important. Natural condition.
Engagement.
Natural dharma.
No, the engagement.
Not only that.
Yes.
Not only that. But eternal existence is not going to be satisfying at all if we don't have chit, awareness of our existence.
Yes.
If we merely have eternal existence without awareness of that existence, that is not going to have, how can we be satisfied?
Yes, Maharaj.
So sat and chit. Now, so we have eternal existence and we have awareness of that eternal existence. Then what else is needed?
Yes, Maharaj. The bliss.
Heart, love, affection, sweetness.
Yes.
That is also necessary. Not just knowledge. Mere knowledge of eternally existing, and with knowledge of that eternal existence is not enough
to fulfill our
hearts.
Yes, ma'am.
We also need that sweetness, the joy, the bliss of love.
Yes, ma'am.
That's ananda.
Yes.
Satchitananda, and that's the plane that we are searching for, and everyone is really searching for that, but they don't know how to find it.
Yes.
Such a plane exists. We are told in the scriptures, it's all given there. If we don't have any faith in that, if we think it's all fairy tale and that, no, it can't be real, only this death and misery and so forth is real, then why do we feel the need for those things?
Yes.
Why do we feel unsatisfied until we get, why is the, if it's natural for the living entity to die, then why does it resist dying? Here, I'll kill you right now. Are you ready? You're not ready. No one is ready.
Yes.
Why? If it's natural, why you are resisting?
Yes, ma'am.
No one wants to be in ignorance.
Yes.
Huh? Then why is everyone going to school, learning books? Why are there so many books, all these things? If it's natural to be in ignorance, then why do we have that? How did that arise in civilization?
Yes.
Also, in Maharaj, culture. How did that whole arise? What's that?
Also, Maharaj, actually, if scientists think that, you know, this consciousness is coming from matter, then, you know, they cannot treat like lives like matter. Like we treat matter in very badly. So we cannot treat the same with life. Like Maharaj, we utilize matter as we wish, but the same thing we cannot utilize for life. Every society thinks, even though they are, you know, like very bad society, still they have some different attitude for life and matter.
That depends.
Yeah.
Some places they have no respect for life. Just like in this country, they have the baby is coming, and they don't want the baby, they kill it.
Oh, okay, yes.
In Germany,
yes.
They didn't like the Jews. What do? They put them in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
Put them in the gas chamber.
Mm-hmm.
So many horrible things are going on.
Yes.
No regard for life.
Yes, matters.
No regard for life. Horrible. Horrible thought. Demoniac. The demoniac culture that will do those things. This is the lowest class, I told one time, about the six psychological types.
Yes.
This lowest class, the demoniac class, they are thinking how to do evil in the world,
yes.
How to kill others,
yes.
Not how to give them life, but to speak of eternal life, they want to kill.
Yes.
Even when we are living in the plane of death, they want to do quicker. That bring that death upon them more quickly.
Very quickly.
Hare Krishna. And the scientists, what are they doing? They're developing these bombs for what purpose? Not to kill people.
Very quickly. More people in short time.
Yes. Do we need that kind of science? How to kill people? What benefit you're having? Everyone is already dying and you're trying to kill people? Then this is advancement of science?
Yes.
How is this the way to advance science? By speeding up what is already being done? What's that?
Yes.
But actually, in our scientific community, people think like this. I have to define a project, and I have to get some funding, and just go ahead with it. But at a more higher level, suppose if I want to say how to introduce this science of life, not as a biology, but as a life per se, what is life exactly? So for that kind of study, so I don't find in entire world actually any kind of thought process. So how can we even suggest something to this person that, for example, if I say let us study what is honesty scientifically, not just some ladies just making some study, but some scientific, what is honesty, what is this what is this faith, what is this scientifically, what is faith, what is this surrender.
Yes.
So how shall we talk about that actually?
Well, we have, just like we're doing, we have to present logically,
yes.
Rationally,
yes.
What is the situation? And for those persons who are thoughtful,
yes.
Many are innocent. Many are innocent.
Yes.
They're students, they're going to college, they're innocent. And they are learning all these things. But actually we have to wait, just like in my life.
Yes.
I was going to school, I was my eyes were very wide, bright, to think, there's all this mechanics, all this chemistry, all this science, all these colorful test tubes and, machines, and, wonderful, what a wonderful world to study.
Yes.
And then one day I suddenly realized, what is it that I have learned? Am I happy?
Yes.
All these things. And then I realized I didn't learn anything. I didn't really know what I needed to satisfy in my life. And then somehow or other I had the great opportunity to come in contact with a devotee. And just one word from him I could understand what was the right way to go about learning things. And that we had gone about it in the entirely wrong way. So our purpose in preaching these things, writing books and things like that, is to find that those innocent persons, those sincere persons who are coming to that point in their life where these things will make some difference in their life, will they make some sense.
Yes, Maharaj.
Actually,
yes.
And one of the 10 offenses to chanting the holy name is not to preach to the faithless.
Faithless person, yes.
This knowledge is for the devotees.
Yes.
Yes.
It's really for the Vaishnavas, for the devotees.
Yes.
And others, they won't be able to hear. But we give, of course, to everyone, because we don't know at this stage who is really a devotee. We can't tell immediately just by looking, you know. We have to make a little scratch below the surface to see. So we use these books, and if people are attracted, we know, oh, this person is a devotee. Huh? He has some interest in these things. Mm-hmm. So we have to give them all a chance to see what they can learn from this, and then somehow or other they become devotees. And then what happens in the future? Maybe if we build up enough community, enough persons who are devotees,
yes,
and they have children, and their children are influencing other friends and like that, then the influence becomes very strong in the world. And people will think, oh, the majority thinks like this, then I must also think like that.
Yes, Maharaj. Okay. This is the way, Maharaj.
And the whole civilization will transform.
Yes.
Yes, Maharaj.
Maharaj, in fact, if you see in USA, now this vegetarian restaurants are increasing. So
what? Vegetarian restaurant?
Yeah, increasing.
Yes, yes, it is.
So,
sure.
So because many people are becoming vegetarian by the influence of Prabhupada's movement. So it is increasing. In past, somebody would have been, you know, like, it's like a dream that you can get, you know, the restaurant where you can get vegetarian food.
That's true. Now they have so many prepared foods in the supermarket also.
Yes.
You can buy vegetarian foods.
Yes.
Already prepared.
Yes.
People are recognizing it, even from a health perspective. They're just doing it from a health perspective.
Yes.
But still, some it has taken root in this country.
Yes.
Which wasn't there before.
Yes, Maharaj.
So then, we were... Yes?
Yes. Yes. Okay, well, I will ask later.
Alright. Then we were saying that we want to have eternal existence.
Yes.
Then, then cognition, or awareness, knowledge of existence.
Yes.
Chit.
Yes.
That is also part of our. That is also a natural part of existence, because we are seeing that so many people are trying to get knowledge.
Yes.
If it was natural not to get knowledge, then why are we doing that? You see.
Yes.
So it's there in the universe. It's there in the natural world that people want to get knowledge, because that is our nature to be knowing, to be cognizant beings. So chit, and then ananda, to feel some, that knowledge is not enough. We want to feel satisfaction. We want that sweetness, that love, that beauty, that charm, that also part of life. And so such chit ananda, that we can all understand, we can all feel, that is the essence of our real existence, constitutional existence. So now how we come to the atmosphere where those things are composing our reality, rather than this contrary existence that we are now experiencing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So therefore we can understand this as a material world, and there is a spiritual world to which we are, which is our native land.
Yes.
For which is our original place of
our living
existence. Where our living, yeah. So which is our home.
Yes.
So Prabhupada said, back to home.
Yes.
Back to God.
Oh, yes.
Maharaj,
that is our home. That is where we live in that natural, in our natural existence, where we are satisfied.
Yes.
Here is a foreign land.
Yes.
We're in a foreign land, just like you put a man in the water.
Yes.
The water is not his natural habitat.
Yes.
Hmm? He'll feel uncomfortable there, always being threatened by drowning.
Yes.
So miserable because his skin is always being wet and cold and all that. So he can't live in the water like the fish.
Yes.
Right? So his natural habitat is on the land, and like that, our natural habitat is in the spiritual world, not this material world, but where we are feeling all kinds of discomforts.
Maharaj,
like that. What's that?
I want to ask a question, Maharaj. Like every Paramatma is situated in all living entities' heart. So, So I want to ask that, like, Krishna is, you know, like having different forms, like Krishna is in Dwarka and Vrindavan. So like this Paramatma aspect in every living entity's heart is different, like a person, different like existence.
Sorry, what are you saying?
Like Maharaj, Krishna has different forms, like Vrindavan, Dwarka form. So this Paramatma has also different forms, like in everybody's heart, Paramatma is situated.
So far I understand, Paramatman is only living in the, is only in this material sphere.
Yes.
Where the living entity is separated from Krishna, Paramatman is there.
Yes.
Only in the material sphere. It's actually Paramatman is called Kiradakshay Vishnu.
Yes, Maharaj.
Uh-huh. So yes. Kiradakshay Vishnu is only in this material sphere. He expands from Mahavishnu.
Maharaj, the same thing.
Kiradakshay Vishnu, then Kiradakshay Vishnu. But there's only expansion of that in this material world, so far I understand. It's only there that Paramatman is necessary. But when we go to the Vaikuntha, that is different, huh? What's
Maharaj,
that?
I want to ask, like, the Kiradakshay Vishnu is one Kiradakshay Vishnu in all different, universes. One Garudakshay Vishnu in all different
universes. Yes.
So I think, like, Krishna has different forms, like Vrindavan and Dwarka, and then also, So I think they are also, like different forms of Lord.
Well, I haven't read it anywhere in Shastra, so I can't answer that.
I can just quote that Srila Prabhupada's language is that Paramatma is a localized aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the heart of every individual soul. So this word localized aspect has some meaning, Maharaj, that I don't know what it is, but it must have some understanding.
That means like this, there are three aspects.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
What's it called? Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan.
Yes.
This is the three aspects of the Absolute Truth, no?
Yes, Maharaj.
That Brahman, Paramatman, and Bhagavan.
Yes.
Brahmaniti, Bhagavaniti, Paramatmiti, Subdhyate.
Yes.
Bhagavatam, I think it is told like that.
Yes, Maharaj.
That the three aspects of the Absolute Truth, again, we have to look at this universal, particular, individual.
Yes.
Yes. Individual is who?
The living
Bhagavan. Yes. Yes.
Brahman is who?
Brahman is like a universal form of Lord.
Universal.
Yes.
Paramatman is then?
The guiding feature.
Particular.
Particular.
If we have universal, particular, individual.
Yes.
And Bhagavan is universal and individual.
Yes.
Brahman is universal, then who is Paramatma? Particular, no?
Yes.
Isn't it? Purushottam?
Yes. I'm thinking about it, Maharaj. I'm thinking about that, Maharaj.
All right. Then let's explain this way.
Yes.
Brahman is the all-accommodating feature of God.
Yes, Maharaj.
Right.
Yes.
Paramatma is the all-pervading aspect of God.
Yes.
All-accommodating?
Yes.
All-pervading?
Pervading?
And who is pervading. Pervading means entering into, permeating, permeating, pervading, permeating.
Right. Yes.
Going
right.
Everywhere.
Yes.
Brahman is accommodating?
Yes.
Paramatman is permeating?
Yes.
And then who is Bhagavan?
When is Krishna?
Attracting.
Yes.
The attracting, unifying, integrating.
Yes.
The integrative, unitive, attractive principle.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
The all accommodating Brahman?
Yes.
The all permeating, all pervading Paramatma?
Yes.
And the all attracting Bhagavan?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Understand? How the Absolute Truth has these three features, you see? We can't explain in just one feature.
Yes.
The other features are there also.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And accordingly, how we recognize, how we understand the Absolute, we will see in one of those aspects or all of those aspects if we have the full conception.
Yes.
Maharaj,
they can't be separated from one another. Just like right. universal, particular, individual, they go together. We can't really separate them. In our mind, we can say they are different features. But in reality, they always coexist with one another, integrated with one another.
Yes.
One can't be separated from the other, actually. So in reality, the all absolute truth also has three different aspects, but is not separated from one another. They're all coexisting with one another, all necessary for one another.
Maharaj, I want to ask a question, like on this, like every living entity has Paramatma in his heart.
Yes.
So actually, when a living entity says, suppose say, leaves the body, suppose
yes.
the living entity goes to like say, different location depending on its, you know, like its, you know, like if it has devotion, it perfect devotion, pure devotion, then it can go to spiritual world. Then if it has some, you know, like bad karmas, then it will go to hell. And good karma goes to Sargaloka. So I think Maharaj, this Paramatma is situated in the, in like when it travels like this?
Yes, he has to accompany the living entity. That's correct.
Yes.
Just then, like we were saying. Just yes. like we were saying.
Yes.
It's never that you can separate
yes.
this universal, particular, individual aspect out.
Yes.
Yes. You can't separate them off.
Yes.
So how the Paramatman and Jiva are related in this material world,
yes.
that's a mystery. That's a little difficult to understand.
Yes.
Yet we know from Shastra that that's the case. There's Atma and Paramatma.
Yes.
So Paramatma means the superior Atma.
Yes, Maharaj.
The inferior and superior.
Yes.
So that is the eternal relationship that the living entity has with God. It can't be broken.
Yes.
It's not that the living entity ever exists
yes.
independently of God.
Yes.
It only seems.
Yes.
He only seems that to
yes.
feel that he seems to experience his independence of God, but really is never independent
yes.
from God. And that's Paramatma.
Yes, that's true.
So, Maharaj, then,
so, as long as we feel we are independent of Krishna, then Paramatma is there
yes.
to complement.
Yes.
That yes, incomplete sense of self.
Yes.
When we look deeply into what the self is, what the jiva is, then we have to see that Paramatma is always there.
Yes.
Yes.
Necessary part.
Yes.
Again, we'll have to say something about how that particular universal individual are connected in that way. I haven't thought of that in very great depth. But you can try to figure that out if you like. Try to find something in the scriptures that will explain that in more detail.
Yes.
That's a very good problem. Something good for research. If you like to do some research, study that.
Maharaj, I'm a fool number one.
Well, that's why you have to read. You have to read the scriptures and try to understand these things.
Yes.
It'll be very nice.
Maharaj, yes. I always think that, like, you know, Paramatma is always from the, you know, like thing trying to take the soul to spiritual world. So Paramatma is very, very happy when the soul reaches to the spiritual world.
Well, I can say something, Maharaj.
What's that?
I have one feeling, Maharaj. Hmm? That actually this entire question is an ontological question. You know, what is
yes.
Paramatma, Bhagavan? You know?
Yes, yes.
Now the thing is that, Maharaj, actually when a living being is in the material world, so the absolute truth is still there. You cannot deny that. So
that's
but
right.
so that portion of absolute truth to which he has access, that portion is called actually Paramatma. So, I mean, which guides him, which, you know, fulfills his, you know, desires, you know. But
mm-hmm.
when he goes to the spiritual, when he ascends, when he comes to this platform of prema bhakti, then that very Paramatma appears as Bhagavan, because there are more features in this Bhagavan. In Bhagavan there are more features than in Paramatma feature.
Mm-hmm.
That means there is the
no. I think Maharaj, also in spiritual world, Paramatma acts, because suppose say Krishna wants something, so then a Paramatma has to give that, like, you know, knowledge or something.
No. That
so Paramatma aspect is
I
also there.
No.
Well, this is a very delicate question.
Yes.
What actually happens? I've not heard that explained so clearly. to myself, so I can't give you a proper answer. I mean, so far I remember, Prabhupada did not give any detailed explanations about those things in his books.
Yes, ma'am.
I think, you know, you can read something in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya about that.
Yes.
And but I don't know where else that is described very in very great detail. And we have to read those things first. Then we can make some comment about that. We should try to find some scriptural reference.
Yes.
What's that?
At least we say the Guru is present in the spiritual world. We say like that. So the Guru
yes.
is a guiding guidance.
Yes.
So this Guru must have some meaning there actually in the, I mean, it must
well,
have some content.
Our position is that we never serve Krishna directly. Never.
Yes.
Yes, Maharaj. Yes, Maharaj.
Never serve. We are always the servant of the servant of the servant.
Yes.
Of Krishna.
Yes.
That's our constitutional position.
Yes.
We are not direct connection with Krishna.
Yes.
Like the gopis.
Yes.
Yes.
We are the servants.
Yes.
Mahaprabhu taught us that we are dasu dasana dasa.
Dasanadas. Yes.
Aham vipro na charana pitir na vaishana sudra.
Yes.
What is that? Gopi Bharta Kamalaya Dasu Dasanu Dasa.
Yes.
Our position that we are not anything of this material designation.
Yes.
Brahman Kshatriya Vaishya Sudra.
Yes.
Yes.
Brahmachari Grihastha Vanaprastha Sannyas.
Yes.
But we are Gopi Bharta Pada Kamalaya, servants of the lotus feet.
Yes.
Of the servants of the servants of the servants of the gopis.
Yes.
So our service goes through Krishna's
servant.
Shakti.
Yes.
Our servant, Shakti.
Yes.
So really in the Vaishnava, our Vaishnava tradition
yes.
is not to become Krishna conscious so much as Radha Dasya.
Yes,
that we are going to serve Radharani because Radharani is the best servant of Krishna.
Yes.
And so if we can serve Radharani, then she can serve Krishna better than we can.
Yes.
That is the mentality also of Radharani. She will push ahead those devotees who can serve Krishna better than her because her
yes,
interest is not her own benefit but the benefit of Krishna.
Yes.
The pleasure of Krishna.
Yes.
So in a higher conception of Guru,
yes.
it is Radha Dasya.
Yes.
We can see Guru in different ways, different levels.
Yes.
That, anyhow, that I've heard explained, was explained to me before, that Guru can be seen in different positions, but not that we ever dispose of Guru.
Yes.
Never. Yes. We are never, it's not like Paramatma in that sense.
Paramatma
somehow becomes. I don't know what happens to Paramatma when we get liberated, but I understand from what I have understood that he's not there, and so we have when we have established our spiritual position.
Maharaj, actually, from like long time, Maharaj, from long time, I used to think like Paramatma always guides the living entities, so. So when living entity actually by Paramatma's mercy only reaches to the spiritual world, then Paramatma is very happy because Paramatma also in that way came to spiritual. I think like that.
I can just quote one, Krishna is telling, Naham tisthami vaikunthe, nacha yogina hridaye, aham tisthami yatra mad bhakta. Where I am not situated in Vaikuntha,
yes.
I am not situated as Paramatma in the heart of
yes.
yogis.
Yes. Yes.
I am situated only in the heart of
pure yogis. Not heart. Where my devotees are glorifying me.
Yes.
I am situated there.
I am situated in their hearts.
Yes.
So
yes.
Krishna is saying. So that means, I think Maharaj. This is when we talk about the Bhagavan feature. It is only for the, you know, the devotees who are, you know, engaged in holy name.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
So therefore, it is a completely different type of, you know.
A different consciousness. Yes, it's a different consciousness.
Yes.
Because when you see, because a devotee who sees, who only sees Krishna within the heart of everyone. One who sees Krishna within the heart of everyone. He is not as advanced as one who sees Krishna, only Krishna, Vasudeva, Saramiti. Well, even that, but Krishna. In his original form, who has Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochana.
Within and without.
Shadaiva Ridayeshu Vilokyanti Yam Shama Shundaram Achintikunasu Rupam. Who sees that Shama Shundar, of inconceivable form.
Yes.
It was inconceivable to the ones who are not Krishna conscious. But to the devotee whose eyes are tinged or smeared with the love of God, he can see Krishna, Shama Shundar directly. Then what is the need of Paramatma? But those who are still seeing materially, somewhat materially, have to see, but they are seeing others. That means they are seeing others.
Yes.
And in others, they are seeing Paramatma.
Yes.
Do you understand? There are still some mix. There's some mixed vision.
Yes.
And those who see the Lord within the heart means they are seeing the others and the Lord in their hearts.
Yes.
But for the pure devotee, he sees only Shyam Sundar everywhere.
Yes.
Yes.
So then there's no need for that Lord in the heart.
Yes.
That's a higher consciousness.
Yes.
How that happens, that is very difficult, impossible to understand, but it can be understood by the devotee who has developed that kind of love.
Yes.
We will see Shyam Sundaram.
Yes. Gurgumar Maharaj always used to say, Maharaj, like...
What's that?
Gurgobind Maharaj,
yes.
He always used to say that a pure devotee always sees Shyam Sundar within and without. Like, within and without, he used to say, Maharaj.
Everywhere.
Yes.
same thing, Maharaj.
So that's the difference.
Yes.
If we still, Paramatma means that we still have some contamination, material conditioning, I should say.
Yes.
Yes.
Paramatman realization is for the yogi.
Yes.
Actually, the yogis can get their maximum achievement is Paramatman realization. Yes. To realize the Lord within their heart.
Yes.
Yes, Maharaj.
But it's not the same as Bhagavan realization.
Yes, Maharaj.
Yes, Maharaj.
And Bhagavan realization is not the same as Radha Dasya.
Yes.
I know one sannyasi, one devotee.
Yes.
He came to Sridhar Maharaj to take sannyas.
Yes.
And it was very surprising what Sridhar Maharaj told him.
Yes.
He told them, now you have to give up your Krishna consciousness and become Radha Dasa. Hare Krishna.
Very difficult.
Yes. Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Maharaj, it is sometimes very difficult.
Our Gaudiya Sampradaya
is
following that line of Radha Dasya, Rupanuga, to be a Rupa, a follower of Rupa Goswami, to be a Rupanuga devotee, is to be a servant of Rupa Goswami, of Rupa Manjari.
Yes.
Who is what? What is Rupa Manjari? She's a servant of Radharani.
Yes.
Of course, she's also serving Krishna, but her main service is to Radharani and to see that Radharani and Krishna are having a proper arrangement for their satisfaction.
Yes.
She is not interested in having any relationship with Krishna directly, Rupa Manjari.
Yes.
The Mantris don't have any direct relationship with Krishna.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're too young
for
that. And yet they have the highest joy.
Yes, Maharaj.
Anyhow, that's very high topics. So we're not to really enter into that thing, but we're trying to understand Paramatma. So we got into all of that.
Yes.
But we are still at the level of trying to understand Paramatma and what is the relationship with the jiva and what happens to Paramatma when we become Krishna conscious. Somehow or other that disappears And we know Krishna, like we said, Krishna consciousness becomes more prominent in our consciousness.
Yes.
And those other things are diminished.
Yes, Maharaj.
How pure our consciousness has become, how elevated our consciousness has become, that will be the determination, what level, what aspect of Krishna we are able to understand. Just like I told the other day about the planet.
Yes.
You know, when you're approaching a planet from the distance, you only see a bright light.
Yes.
Like that's like Brahman.
Yes, 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 Maharaj.
And when you get closer, you will see more detail and closer. And then when you land and you stay there for a while,
yes,
you'll create some relationships with that. All that with each individual, you will see more and more detail.
Yes.
As you land on that planet.
Yes.
All the different people, you will have a particular service there.
Yes.
You'll have a particular relationship.
Yes.
Everything. It will become more particular, whereas from a distance, all those things will not be seen.
Yes.
But only as we approach closer and closer in our spiritual life to the ultimate truth,
yes,
then we will understand everything in more detail, and the more specific circumstances will,
yes,
become manifest to us, own to us.
Yes.
We'll become conscious of them.
Yes.
So this is all a travel through consciousness.
Yes.
All right.
Actually, it's a very deep study, Maharaj.
It's very deep. Yes, we can have absorb our lives, our lives, millions of lifetimes. Yes. Even Rupa Goswami, when he wrote that Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he said it was only a drop of the nectar of rasa,
yes,
the ocean of rasa that he was describing.
Yes. Maharaj, we visited myself and Purushottam Prabhu. This place where that our king Madan Mohan fought the war with this top Vishnupur.
Vishnupur.
Yes, Maharaj. Maharaj in Vishnupur.
Yes.
Vishnupur is very near to Khadakpur, one Vaishnava place, Maharaj. So there Madan Mohan fought the war. Actually, there was a Vaishnava king, and he actually very much devoted to Madan Mohan. So he also actually coming in the line of our Srinivas Acharya.
Yes.
Srinivas Acharya came there, and there was a pastime that six Goswamis written scriptures. They are taken that, you know, responsibilities. They got that responsibility to distribute it in Bengal. But when they reached to Vishnupur, one thief stolen that, Maharaj, those books. Because you know that, Maharaj?
Yes. That's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yes.
That story is told, yes.
Yes. Then, Maharaj, this Madan Mohan actually also same established by, I think, our Srinivas Acharya, or in the, those devotees only established, I think, at the time. So, the king worshipping Madan Mohan and very much attached and very great devotee. So, when this Muslim attacked that place, so...
Not Muslims. This is the Marathas.
Marathis. So, Burgis. So, when they attacked that place, then this king was actually very much helpless, and his son was also facing some disease and, you know, under like treatment.
Was very young.
Very young. So, he was also actually he was in the bed actually. He was having some disease, some problem, and the father was taking care. So, the father told Madan Mohan, depending on Madan Mohan, whatever your wishes are, let that be fulfilled. Then actually the night what happened, when they attacked, Madan Mohan took the form of the son of the king and taken one, you know, old two tops and filled it completely with, you know, this barud, this, you know, this powder, this gunpowder.
Gunpowder.
Yes.
Mm.
And only one fire, all the enemies finished. And listening that sound, all others, either they're senseless or others run away. Only one thing he fired, not other one he not used. Only one gunfire, most of them died, and some of them run away, and some of them are, you know, fell senseless there, listening to the sound. So then this Lord in the form of that son came to one like devotee. He's actually taking care of cows in that village, in that king's, you know, kingdom. So he told, I am very hungry, so I want some milk. So then he taken, you know, like lot of milks like whole and
oh,
this
curd.
Pink.
He took curd. Curd.
Curd. Curd, huh?
Yes.
Oh. Oh. The entire actually village whatever requirement is there, he himself taken that actually. Lord himself taken. Then this devotee asked for Lakshmi. Then he told, actually I am tired, I don't have at present Lakshmi, so you can ask my father. So I am king's son, so I went to war and I am very much tired. Please ask to my father, he will pay. Then when this person went to king, then king told, how come it possible? My son is actually here on the bed, I am whole night with him, and there is no possibility that my son go in this condition and fight the war and win the war for me. Actually, no, I personally seen it, many people also seen it. You see, there are many, our enemies are, you know, dying on the forest, they're lying there, you can see. Then king thought about it, and then he visited Madan Mohan. He thought that it might be, you know, mercy of Lord. When he seen Madan Mohan's body is full of this gunpowder. So in that way, Lord, you know, gain mercy, and then that top is still there, which is used by Madan Mohan, that gun.
Oh really?
Yes. And that king constructed many like Vaishnava places, and one of the places, this Rasa, you know, this this what can I call?
Ras Mancha.
Yes. So that is actually.
What does that mean?
Mancha means Maharaj, like the stage. Stage, yes, Maharaj.
Yes.
For Ras Leela.
I see.
So visited there, it is like, you know, like wonderfully they constructed him. Like,
Actually, what happened, Maharaj? This was a very culturally rich place. Mm. And actually, in our India, there was a cultural revolution. So the people were very expert in different types of, you know, ragas, music. So one of those styles was known as Raga Drupad. So this Raga Drupad was brought to this our district. It's called, you know, Vishnupur. And the king patronized it. And the people learned this, you know, and then they become very great singers. So if you come to our district anytime, you will find people are naturally very extraordinary singers. So this is the, you know, mercy of these Vaishnavas, Maharaj.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yes.
I'm just thinking that Prabhupada told in the spiritual world,
yes,
every word is a song.
Every word.
Yes, Maharaj.
Yes.
Every Maharaj. Step is a dance. Every step is a dance. Every word is a song.
Yes.
Our Guru Maharaj once,
you know,
our Purushottam Prabhu asked that.
What's that?
Our Purushottam Prabhu asked once to Guru Maharaj, Maharaj, what happens when a pure devotee leaves the body? And Guru Maharaj told, and these all songs, these all Vaishnava songs, like continuously.
No, he's thrown into a blast of wonderful ecstatic singing and dancing. Guru has said that.
He's thrown into a blast.
A wonderful blast.
Yes.
Of singing and dancing.
Oh. Yes. Yes.
Maharshi Padmaraj is always experiencing that even here. He was experiencing that.
Maharaj, you like to sing, Maharaj?
I can't sing. Don't have a very good voice for singing. I used to sing. When I was first became a brahmachari, they used to like to hear me sing. I played the harmonium. And any time there was a Sunday feast, they told me, you sit down and play harmonium and sing. I was very hungry. But they told me, you sing for the devotees, sing for the guests.
Yeah.
All right, you know, so I would sing. And then after everyone was finished eating, whatever was left over, they would save a plate of prasadam for me.
Yeah.
And then I could take some prasad. But they somehow, they liked my singing. I don't know why.
Maharaj, this is not some tune or things.
We like your voice, Maharaj.
Yes.
We're happy with your voice and with your thoughts.
Maharaj, there are so many singers in this world, but that is not like like Krishna and his name are indifferent, Maharaj. So who has love for Krishna, so then the Krishna is personally present, so that will attract everybody, Maharaj.
Yes.
Not that, you know, some tunes and, you know, these things.
Yes. Yes. Suv Damodar Maharaj was a singer. He was a very nice singer. He was very special.
Yes.
So no one can replace him.
And Maharaj, he has many gears. He has to change his gears many times.
Yes, that's
he has many.
Yes.
Yeah.
Many forms.
Yes.
He had
yes,
many forms that he would manifest.
Yes, yes Maharaj.
The friend, who was the friend of the friendless, the scientist to the scientist, the father to his father to those to his sons and daughters. He was even greater than the king. He was the king, the Maharaj, the great king.
Yes.
Before the kings, the Rajas, he was the Maharaj.
Yes.
In Bali, I saw him with the Raj of Bali.
Yes.
And he was, that Raj was giving respect to Maharaj.
Yes.
I thought.
Yes.
Anyhow.
Yes.
Well, I
right.
wanted to ask you
yes.
one thing.
What's that?
Who is Savananda Prabhu Maharaj?
Savananda Prabhu is a very nice devotee here in New Jersey, disciple of Sripad Maharaj.
Yes.
Yes, Maharaj.
Is doing some service for ISKCON.
Yes.
Okay.
And is trying to set up one preaching center in the colleges. I asked him, I said, if we can set up a college preaching program here in New Jersey.
Yes.
Then we'll try to develop from here a program, you know, that can be exported to all the colleges.
He must be very young then.
Yes.
He's quite young, yes. I don't know his age, but he's not he's
quite
young.
What are you doing, Maharaj?
Below 30, I think. What is he doing?
Yes, Maharaj.
I don't know. I think he's some kind of data processor. I'm not sure.
Is he in university?
No, he's working.
In
he
university?
Has a family.
In university?
No, he's working at one company here.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Maharaj.
Very nice. He is from a Vaishnava family.
Oh.
So I'm very happy to have his association.
Yes.
Very
yes.
sweet and very respectful Vaishnava mood.
Yes.
Which I very much.
Yes.
I feel it's Sripad Maharaj's mercy to have his association, that he has sent his very nice disciple here to live next week, to next
Maharaj, we are all blessed by your assistance.
Hare Krishna.
So Maharaj, I wanted to ask you, if it is
What's
possible,
that?
If it is, I was always interested in some, you know, writing works and some editing works. So if you involve me in some of your works, then I can learn some of your things, Maharaj. So if it is possible, I mean, I am not asking, but if it is possible, something, some humble something, you know, menial something, then I would like to do that, Maharaj.
You try, maybe if you try to look at this, at our talk, and take from that anything that you find is interesting to write down.
Right.
Try to write down what the interesting points from our discussion was today.
Yes.
Yes.
I'd like to write some of that down. Maybe that will be useful.
Yes.
You can make an article with that.
Yes.
I know one devotee, one devotee in California. His name is Hari Guru Prabhu.
Yes. Yes, Maharaj. Hari Guru Prabhu.
And I was telling him about this Satchidananda, how our nature can be understood as Satchidananda.
Yes.
And now he's writing an article on that topic.
Oh, okay.
From what we discussed.
Yes.
One time when he was here at my house, we discussed that topic, and he liked that very much, and now he's trying to write an article on that topic, how to explain that the soul is there, and that we are spiritual by nature, and how we can detect that from our own experiences, what we know about our own life here, how we can explain that there is a soul, there is Atma present. And he was using that example I gave of Satchidananda, how we can understand that we are looking for eternity, we are looking to live, we are looking to know, and we are looking to be fulfilled, to be happy.
Yes.
And then I also told him that the more important thing, however, is that we have to understand we are not independent.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
Because that's what establishes Krishna.
Yes. Yes.
To understand that I am soul is one thing.
Yes.
But to understand that there is Krishna, the Supreme Soul, that is the other, that is the more important thing.
Yes.
Because without that, then simply to know I am a soul, that's impersonal.
Yes.
Actually.
Yes, Maharaj.
So the other element is that I am not independent. Krishna is Abhigya Swarat.
Yes.
But I am not Swarat.
Yes.
I'm dependent. And how to understand that?
Yes.
How to understand that we are not independent? That's the next topic.
Yes.
That's also an essential point in this discussion of what it means to be Atma, what it means to be soul.
Yes.
It's to understand how the soul is dependent.
Yes, Matt.
So how do we do that?
Yes.
Then we have to analyze the hair is growing out of my head.
Yes.
Am I controlling that?
No.
The nail is growing out of my finger.
Yes.
Can I make it stop? No.
Yes.
I'm eating and my food is digesting.
Yes.
Do I have to think about how to do that?
Mm.
It's happening automatically.
Yes.
I'm without the air around me. I could not live. I'd have to have air to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Without that, I'm completely I'm dead. I can't do anything, no matter how healthy I may be.
Yes.
You take away the air, finished.
Yes.
You may be the strongest man in the world. Take away the air, finished.
Yes.
Yes.
And I may be very healthy. May have perfect vision.
Yes.
You may be able to see the spots on the moon with your own naked eye.
Yes.
But you take away the light.
Yes.
Yes.
If there's no light, you can't see anything.
Yes.
Eye is useless.
Yes.
So like that, in every way, we are so dependent, completely dependent.
Yes.
And our nature
yes.
is to be dependent. We
yes.
think you were independent,
yes.
but in every regard, we're dependent.
Yes.
So that's a very important
yes.
point to recognize that
yes.
we are dependent, not independent. And therefore, what is it that we are dependent upon?
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
And that is Abhigya Swarat. That is
yes.
the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Supreme
yes.
Conscious, Cognitive Principle, Cognitive Absolute.
Yes.
That is a Krishna's Consciousness.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
And that Once Srila Prabhupada told us that you want to be self-realized
yes.
means that you have to become Krishna conscious.
Yes.
Don't think self-realization is just that you know yourself.
Yes.
Not like that.
Yes.
Just like if you want to see yourself, the sun has to be there in the sky.
Yes.
Like we were explaining, that without light we can't see.
Yes.
So at night time, we can't see anything. I can't see myself, I can't see anyone else.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So only when the sun comes out, then I can see who am I,
yes.
where, what kind of world I am living in, who is there that I have some relationship with.
Yes.
All those things become known to me only when the sun comes out.
Yes.
In the same way, only when we become Krishna conscious, then we
yes.
can understand who I am,
yes.
what is my relationship like that, what place do I belong to.
Yes. Yes.
So the Atma, simply to know Satchidananda, is not enough. That
yes.
only explains what the nature of the Atma is, but to understand that also we are have a relationship with Krishna, that is the real full self-realization.
Yes. And Maharaj, that son is Guru?
Son is Krishna.
Krishna, yes.
Guru is the water.
Guru is water. Yes.
And the disciple is the lotus. The
yes.
lotus
yes.
is protected from the sun
mm-hmm.
by the water.
Yes.
Without the water, the lotus would dry up in the power of the sun.
Yes.
That's how it's explained. Sometimes you will see the sun, the water, and the lotus.
Yes.
Sun is Krishna.
Yes.
The disciple is the lotus flower.
Yes.
And Guru is the water.
Yes. So Maharaj, how
don't
this...
Don't try to approach Krishna without Guru.
Yes. Die.
You'll burn.
Yes.
Krishna is the infinite.
Yes.
Infinite. How do we come... If we try to come in touch with the infinite, we'll be finished. We'll be nowhere.
Yes.
They are very infinitesimal. Yes. If we try to come in touch with the infinite, we'll be nowhere.
Yes.
We can't do it. How can the infinitesimal touch the infinite?
Yes, Maharaj.
Can't touch. So, yes. Infinite has to come to us.
Yes.
Then, that is the real infinite. If it's really infinite, it can come to us.
Yes.
Even some say, how can God appear to man? Man is infinite, God is infinite. Sorry, man is finite, God is infinite. How can God come to man?
Yes.
And Sri Damodar answered, when someone asked him that question, he said, if he is infinite, he can come.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
If he has some limitation, he can't come to the finite, then he's not infinite.
Yes.
So the infinite comes to the finite. And that's called guru.
Yes. Yes.
You understand?
Yes, Maharaj.
So guru is essential.
Yes.
Otherwise, the infinite cannot come in touch with the infinite by his own effort, by direct.
Yes, Maharaj.
Infinite has to come to the finite,
yes.
And that is called guru.
Yes,
yes. Is it?
Yes.
You agree?
Yes, Maharaj, I agree.
Purushottam, what do you say?
Certainly, because the other thing is the Gyanamarg. Gyanamarg means how can a finite understand the infinite? This is Gyanamarg. But
mm-hmm.
The devotee mark is different. Devotee thinks that it is not, that I will understand. But Krishna will make me understand. That's all. It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the Gyanis cannot understand that, Maharaj.
Yes. Mm. We can't go there by our own aggression, by our own effort,
yes.
And aggressively poke our nose.
Yes.
Yes.
We can't aggressively step on the soil of Goloka.
Yes.
Puncturing through
yes.
to the Goloka Vrindavan, we can't do that.
Ganesha is there, Maharaj.
Huh?
Ganesha is there with his trident. For such souls,
we have to be dragged. We have to be dragged there by Krishna.
Yes.
Krishna can drag
yes.
us there,
yes.
But we can't aggressively enter that place
yes.
on
yes.
our own.
Yes.
You know, Maharaj, I once asked this question to one of my friends. He said,
"What's that?"
The spiritual world is such a place, I mean Golok Vrindavan is such a place that, you know, the non-moving objects appear to be moving, and the moving objects become stunned. So, you know, this contradiction is always found in the spiritual world. But in material world, we cannot understand this. You know, like sometimes the devotees are in ecstasy. In ecstasy, they are like they become like a stone, just in one place.
Yes, when Krishna plays his flute,
yes,
the cows stand still like stones, and
yes,
the stones melt and become like
yes,
flowing Maharaj. Water.
Yes, Maharaj.
The stones melt and become like flowing water, and the cows and the living entities all stand still like stones.
Yes,
just to hear the sound of Krishna's flute.
Yes, Maharaj.
Chintya Veda Veda Tattva?
Yes.
It's one indifferent. Everything is of that nature.
Yes. Yes, Maharaj.
Maharaj, actually just opposite in spiritual world and material world.
That's another thing. That's the other thing. That's what we were telling before, that another day, that Ashwata tree.
Yes. Ashwata tree. Yes, Maharaj.
Ashwata tree?
Huh? Roots.
Everything is upside down.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes. Yes, Maharaj.
And here, in this world, sound
yes.
is the most subtle, the highest element.
Yes.
Sound?
Yes.
Sabda?
Yes.
We consider that the highest.
Yes.
In the spiritual world, that's the lowest element.
Yes.
Can't understand that, huh?
Yes.
Here,
yes.
in the material world, the smell is the lowest element.
Yes.
Smell belongs to the earth.
Yes.
And there in the spiritual world is the highest.
It's smell.
Yes, yes. Right.
That's, I heard this somewhere.
Yes.
Maybe in Chaitanya Charitam, Krishnadas Kaviraj tells us that.
Yes.
that the fragrance
also this,
that Krishna experiences also. when he just smells the aroma of the air Radharani, he becomes he falls into the greatest ecstatic swoon just by smelling the fragrance of Radharani that's wafting through the air.
Yes.
I think Maharaj is also coming out from the Gayatri Mantra also. It's Kama Gayatri.
Yes? What's that?
What you're trying to say, Maharaj, just now, this is also manifesting from that Kama Gayatri Mantra. This Kama Gayatri. So in that, these five things are mentioned. The arrow having five, these things are mentioned there.
I see.
That.
All right. I think we should end now because
Maharaj,
it's 8 o'clock.
Yes, Maharaj.
Very nice.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Thank you very much. We had a very nice blessing. Discussion today.
Thank you.
All right. Good that you recorded it. Now we can play it to see if anyone wants to hear that.
Yes, I will send it a copy to Maharaj.
Okay, and then maybe Suvendra, who couldn't make it today, he can hear.
Yes, Maharaj.
And he's always anxious to hear something.
Yes, Maharaj.
All right.
Dandavat Pranam, Maharaj.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.